was going to be kind of difficult after that song by Sister Becky. That was, gosh, that was awesome. And appreciate that song and the truth in it. You know, many of our burdens, Jesus is just waiting for us to put him into his hands. I've sang this song several times, but the truth of it does not grow old. Because God watches over us. We may not even be aware of it. We may not even know. And sometimes if we just could pull a veil back to see how that he protects us, he walks with us, he's there at hand, and he can speak to your heart just within a heartbeat, just within a moment. But at any rate, the title of this song is Sheltered in the Hands of God. Every time I sing that song or practice it, I think, you know, how close the God is each and every day of our lives. And you know how that we walk in his realm. and he watches over us. Now, things may not always go the way we want them to, but they certainly go the way that God wants them to. And there's always a blessing in that. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the first gospel, Matthew's gospel, and in the sixth chapter, and we're going to begin our reading lesson with the 25th verse. This, of course, was written by Matthew in approximately 37 AD. Matthew was probably one of those disciples that was about 7 or 8 in the line of apostles or disciples that were called. Matthew wasn't well thought of. We don't find that spoken of among the disciples, but he had the job of a tax collector. Now, I've not known personally any tax collectors, but I can imagine that he was one that when the disciples went anywhere, people said, well, why in the world did he pick him? Why did he choose him? And there's always a reason why. There's always a purpose in everything. And so Matthew chronicled and wrote down all of the things that, from his perspective, he saw as the Holy Spirit moved on him, that Jesus said and did, and even right up to the time that Christ gave his life on the cross of Calvary. So if you will read along with me in the 25th verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew, we find these words. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, yet for your body, what ye shall put on. And it is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And I found out the hard way that this is about it for me. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But here's our text, and our thought will come from this next verse of Scripture. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If correctly read, this includes the 25th down through and including the 33rd verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we pray today that God will add even his blessing unto the reading of his word. Have you ever thought about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? It is something today that probably we don't sit down and just dwell upon. We dwell upon, okay, what are we going to do next week? We've got this appointment. We've got that appointment. I've got to take the kids here. I've got to take them there. Can I get the tires changed on time? I need to get the oil changed too. And so sometimes that crowds out of our thinking. Now, there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong whatsoever. I'm not being critical in any way. But you know, the most important thing that we could consider, in fact, I pray that the world one day would even come collectively to consider, is the kingdom of God. That kingdom is where the sovereign God, the almighty God, the one who knows all things, past, present, and future, where that he is in charge, he is in control, he is letting it go according to his plan. Well, now, preacher, I don't see very much in all of that, because it seems like there's turmoil on this hand, there's rioting on this hand. Why, we've even heard that this has happened, and there's earthquakes and all kinds of things. But yet, we have to trust God that he's got it all under control, and we may not know his will, what he is allowing some things to happen, how that he directs it, how that he moves upon people. We may not understand it, and we may not have any idea of what God's purpose and God's plan is, but there is one thing that we can do. We also that have been saved, have been born again, are a part of that kingdom. We walk within it. Sometimes whenever that we are cognizant of God and we're cognizant of his presence, it's almost like you're in a different realm. Now, I'm not trying to be mystic or spooky or anything like that, but sometimes it's almost like you can feel the presence of Almighty God. And you can tell that he is moving and he is taking charge and he is doing all these things. Most importantly of all, as a child of God, he bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. And unto the unsaved today, there are times whenever this gospel is preached and his gospel is expounded, and through that gospel, the unsaved realize that they don't have this peace and assurance and this hope that a child of God does. But we are in that realm of God, a holy realm. It's kind of hard to understand. In fact, when God moved upon me about this message, I thought, Lord, I can't even define what the kingdom of God is. There are writers today that they can't put it down even in black and white. But it is ruled over sovereignly by God. And just as we sang that song about how that we're sheltered in the arms of God, we are sheltered in his arms. And he's watching over us. But I'd like to think for just a moment about several things. First of all, walking in the kingdom. We are walking in the kingdom whether we realize it or not. Then I want to look at and think about living in the kingdom. We live in the kingdom. We function in the kingdom. We go about in the kingdom. And thirdly, working in the kingdom. Now someone will say, well, preacher, you're saying I walk in the kingdom. You have been born. If you've been born again, you are part of that kingdom of God. Yes, you are. And you are walking in it whether you realize it or not. You might not be thinking about God at various times, but God can speak in just a moment. Just the twinkling of an eye. You can feel that presence. I know whenever that I'm walking about, Shirley tells me that, well, there you go again, you're walking in your own little world. And I always tell her, well, I wish I was the king of it, but yes, I probably am. But it's during that time that God speaks and that God lets his presence be known. And I don't know about any other preacher, anyone else, but verses of scripture will come to me. And then the text that I'm to preach and even the location that I'm to preach it in will be laid upon my heart as I walk with them. And I'm not trying to puff myself up before each and every one of you today, because the walk with God that you can have in his kingdom is just, the fact of the matter is, it's just how close do you want to walk to him? Now, I know that we've got to go about, as we said, our daily task, but we have the ability to walk with God day by day. Now, God doesn't shut down the kingdom. He doesn't say, well, we're going to conclude here for just a second. I'm going over on vacation. And you know, even whenever that we come to church today and we leave, that doesn't mean that we're not walking in the kingdom of God, whether we realize it or not. And in the kingdom of God, we walk by one thing. We walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you know that people are not saved, are not redeemed without faith? There is faith that is exercised into the Lord Jesus Christ as being the only hope, as being the only one of salvation. But then again, we walk by faith even day by day as a child of God. Do you know today, the Bible tells us in one place that we do not walk by sight. Now, it would be great to walk with God and have everything just mapped out before us. Now, I don't know of a person in the scriptures, except maybe Daniel, who was able to see that unseen realm that we talk about as he saw the man of God speaking to him and revealing the things which are to come. But we walk not by sight. We walk by faith. And faith is the evidence. It's not that we just have blind faith, but it's the evidence of things not seen, the hope of things which are to come. We don't always know what is ahead. I have no idea what we're going to. That's why I asked her to drive. You know, my mama told me one time, said, "Paul, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good." Well, that's true. I will admit that. But we don't even know, leaving here, and I'm glad she's driving, we don't even know what's going to be around the corner as we go home. None of us do. We put that and commit that into the hands of Almighty God. And the Bible tells us that we have to trust Him in all of this, walking in the kingdom. Just like you trusted Him for salvation, you trust in Him for everything in your life. The Bible, as we said and read in your hearing, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Walk in the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us that we also walk in obedience unto God. Saul never learned the lesson. I'm not talking about the apostle Saul, who was called Paul later. But Saul in the Old Testament never learned that to obey God is better than sacrifice, and to hearken unto Him is better than the fat of rams. In other words, sacrifice. We might offer the sacrifice of ourselves, but if we're not obedient unto God when He moves on us, or whenever He leads us, or He gives us assurances, or even He says, "I can see your heart, I can see your trouble, but you trust in me with all of your heart. No, Lord, I just want to figure this all out by myself." You wouldn't want to see some of the solutions that I've come up with. Whenever that my heart was troubled, and whenever that I didn't see a way, and I thought, I'm just going to do this, I'm going to ask it of this person, that person. And the old saying is, when you run out of tools and timber, you come back to God, and He's the one that says, "I've been waiting for you to sit down with me, and I'll counsel with you." And you might say today that God does not do things like that. Oh, most assuredly He does. He's not up in heaven just kind of picking His fingernails. He's not up in heaven just kind of watching. I can assure He is not watching Netflix. But my friend, I want you to realize today, He wants to commune with each and every one of us and to walk in obedience in the kingdom. Now we also walk with him in love. Not the love that the world talks about today. Not the type of love that's displayed upon the silver screen. I guess it's silver, I don't know. But upon our TVs and CDs and so on and so forth, that's not love. It's a part of love when used in the right way. It's a part of the love of God, and the intention of that love is to be in God's hands, used of God. But we walk in the love of God. You know, there's a Greek word for that that describes that kind of love. It's the highest kind of love. It's a love that cannot be obtained any other way than to experience it with God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in Romans, Paul said, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. In other words, we can reflect that love of God. We can have that love of God towards other people. And yes, I realize today that it's hard to love humanity. It's hard to get past how that they come across to you. It's hard to get past how they've cut you off in traffic. It's hard to get past how that they hand gesture you, and I'm not talking about a fist. But my friend, we can love them by the love of Almighty God. A love that transcends all types of love and all types of affections. And we're to walk in that love. We're to, in a moment's notice, there to share that love with one another and even those today that are unlovable. You know, today that Christ loved every individual and he loves every individual today. Do you know that while he was even speaking with the Pharisees and debating with them and trying to get them to see the kingdom of God and to realize he was the Messiah, he's the Savior of all mankind. And even though that they mocked him, even though they reviled him and they even hated Christ, he still loved them. This is completely contrary to what the world system teaches today. Well, it's not of this world. The love of God transcends that. We can find grace in God to be able to forgive, to love, and my friend, even to have compassion towards those that not only are less fortunate than us, but even those today that might even sin against us. I was interested in a film a friend of mine sent to me. And I know sometimes we look down upon the homeless, but this was in South Philadelphia on I believe it was called Kensington Street. I may be wrong on that. I never saw anything like it. I want you to know today, some of those people, this is all their life is going to consist of. Trying to get a fix or trying to get a hit off of a bong. And my friend, even today, trying to scrap together enough money, many of them are addicts or ex-addicts. And there are a few people that go down into that hell to try to rescue the perishing today. Now, I'm not suggesting that we as a church just get up and go seek out a homeless person, but you know, my heart just went out to each and every one that I saw there. I couldn't believe it. This is their life. This is all that they have to look forward to. Some of them are so stoned, if you will, that they're bent over. They can't even hardly walk. Someone has to kind of carry them along. Trash all over the place. Living in cardboard boxes. We saw a little bit of this down in Jamaica where that the poor there lived in tin shacks. It was like three or four walls and then a roof over the head, and they don't get that much rainfall. So they didn't have to worry about a door, and they crawl inside of that and sleep through the night. That's their life. This is the type of people that Jesus came to seek out and to save. You see, it's no different than it was in Jesus' day. Outside of Jerusalem, there was what I would always call beggar's row. There were people that were blind, people that had leprosy. They were way down at the end of it. There were people there that were infirm. They were malformed from birth. Something happened to them. They lost a limb. They lost their sight. And Jesus went among them. You know, there's a verse of scripture that says over in Acts, Peter's sermon, he says, Jesus went about doing good. He went about doing good. Sometimes that's hard for me to realize. But that's the love of God manifested today. And not only are we to walk in love, and not only are we to manifest love, but I believe with all my heart that we are to live in the kingdom. That is, realize today that this present atmosphere that we're in is not our final home. This isn't it. When I go home, that's not my home. The Bible says in one place that we have a dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of this country. I'm a citizen of the human race. But I'm also a citizen of heaven. I've got a home there. My final home awaiting me. And you might say, preacher, how do you know? Because one day He barged into my world. And the awful pain and things that I've been carrying, and my friend go to churches and things like that, it was hard for me to get any peace. I knew I was always afraid that if I fell asleep, I wouldn't wake up. But one day Jesus barged into my heart, and He redeemed my soul from sin. And whenever I walk out of that place where that I was working, I knew, like the song says, I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place called heaven. And my friend, it's not just the preacher that's going to heaven, it's all those today that have been saved by His grace. We live, after that we're saved, we live in that realm of the kingdom of God. God just doesn't save us and He says, well, there you go, Paul. You just kind of make it on your own. And if you need me, just call me up, leave a message. No. He walks with us. He desires to walk with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to teach us. He wants to love us. He wants us to know that above all else, if nobody else cares, nobody else loves, that He does. And you might say, how do you know that He loves? Because He gave the very best that heaven had to hold, and that was His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave Him to redeem us from sin. We live in this world. And once again, what we have the mindset, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, all of those things. Now the world says to us, get more, get more, get more, get more. That's the world's signature today. And you know, as we think about it, that's to be expected. But God says, the kingdom of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then here it is, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now you may not get the Cadillac you want, You may not get the great mansion that you want, and you may not tear down the stock market with your investments, but I'll tell you one thing, he's never failed to give every one of us what we stand in need of. He's never failed. And my friend, I'm like Moses that says, if there's any that has controversy against God, let him come forth and so speak. Now, I want you to realize today God looks for us to work and live in this realm called this kingdom. And you know, he looks for us to bear fruit. Now, I'm not talking about pomegranates or cherries or strawberries, but some evidences. Now, you're not giving evidence so that you show that you'll get salvation. You're not earning it. You've already got it. But you're showing evidence that you've got it and that Jesus is the Lord over your life. We find Paul says in one place in the 5th chapter of the book of the Galatian letter and in the 22nd verse, the fruit of the Spirit is, guess what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness and temperance. And he goes on and he said, against all of these there is no law. What's he talking about there? If you read up the very first one, and I didn't want to prolong all of this, you read about what the works of the flesh is, and the law of God will point those out. But these that are produced in a child of God, the Bible says there is no law against it whatsoever. We live in confidence. You know, today you might say, well, that's pride, isn't it? No, I'm confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm confident in what he has done. I'm confident in how that he's overcame death, hell, and the grave. And Paul said over in one place in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, and this was on the eve of his death, he said, I am confident. But he said, I know this. He said, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed against that day. Committed unto whom? Committed unto him. And we have this confidence. So when we go about and whenever that we walk in the kingdom, there's nothing else that we could do to make it easier for ourselves or anything. But we have this confidence in Christ Jesus. Kingdom is also something that we work in. Whenever I was a teenager, Dad pointed me to the door and said, you know, there's a job up in a lumber yard that you can work in the summer. I thought, oh, great. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm past all that. I'm glad I am. But you know, there's work in the kingdom of God. Well, I just want to set in his grace. We've got all eternity to do that. We've got all eternity. And I got a feeling, and I heard one preacher say, we will be endowed with even some work out there. No, I just want to float on a cloud and play a harp. Where do you find that in the Bible? Where do you find that in the Bible? My wife's laughing because we debated this. My friend, there's work here to do. You may not fill a pulpit and preach from a pulpit, but you've got a calling. You've got a witness. You've got a testimony. You've got something that the world does not know about. And they're all walking around, remember this, with a big God-sized hole within their soul and in their heart. And you have the capability of pointing them. Now, I'm not talking about going out and then banging people with a Bible. But what did Jesus do? He went about doing good. If somebody was thirsty, he gave them a drink. If somebody was sick, he comforted them. I believe if someone was in prison, he went to visit them. And in this day and time, if somebody is infirm, my friend, we can work for God. You never know how far that a God-inspired word will go. Saying something kind, even unto the guy that walks in the door and you think, oh my lands, I hope my daughter doesn't marry him. But my friend, you can be kind to that guy because you see through his eyes down into his heart, he has a soul. And he is loved of God just as much as you are. And we find that it also says, it teaches us that even a meal, a visit, a phone call, a card, whatever the case might be, can go so far to do so much for people. We like to quote that scripture out of Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 9. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we leave it off there. But there's more to it. For when we are saved, we become his workmanship. In other words, he molds us and he uses us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Jesus himself said that even the time is short. You know, we don't have a lot of time. There's more time behind us that has been than time ahead of us that we hope will be. I know that sounds rather heady and philosophical, but you think about it for just a moment. We don't know what this day will come to an end and Christ will come back. We don't know. And Jesus said himself of his role when he was on this earth. He said words to the effect that I must work the works of him that sent me, for the day is drawing to a close. And he wasn't talking about sunrise, sunset, but he was talking about there'll be a space of time there, and then it'll draw to a close. I believe God allots to everyone the opportunity to hear the gospel just once. He obligates himself. You might say, what about the individual over in the darkest continent of all? God's got that under control. Because in his word, he says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. So while we have the opportunity, let us work while it is day, because the night season comes when no man can work. Well, what can I do? What kind of work like that? One man I was in a revival with, God inspired him to open and close the door. Open and close the door. Even open it up and keep it open for the people that were out walking on the sidewalk. That was his calling. Somebody might be talented and gifted with singing. Just like the sister just a while ago wrote that song. God welled that song up in her heart, gave it to her. And now she is working to spread that message through song. You say that there are messages and songs? Oh, yes, there is. Yes, you read the Psalms of David. And there's a message in every one of them. He's promised us that when we put him first in the kingdom, he'll take care of everything. And we dwell in that kingdom, whether that we realize it or not. And when you draw close unto God, I hope you'll see what I've experienced. How it's a comforting thing. It's a strength to see God walk beside of you and to live in his kingdom and to work in his kingdom. How do I get into this kingdom? Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that still stands today. Ye must be born again. So as we close our few remarks this day, thankful for your kind attention, for visitors that are with us. You think I'm long-winded. Boy, I wasn't really wound up today. And I will not say this braggingly, but one place I got so wound up, I preached 2 hours. You better pray I don't get wound up. So as we have this song, this hymn, God bless each and every one of you. God be with you. May you walk with Him. There are dark days seemingly upon us. I'm not being negative, but the signs of the times already point towards the fact we are living in the last days, the end times. But you know, we can walk in the kingdom. We can still serve God. We can still go on and serve Him in spirit and in truth. The British used to have a saying, and I'll close, and I carry it as a bookmarker. During World War II, when Germany was blitzing London, and Churchill was doing all that he could to hold it together, all that he could to hold it together, the British came up with this saying. I admire them, because they went far worse things than I did. What this says is keep calm and carry on. How do you keep calm? Walking in the kingdom. And then what are we to do? We're to do those things. Walk with Him in the kingdom. Live with Him in the kingdom. And work with Him in the kingdom. How long do we do that? Till He comes. Till He comes. So God bless you is my prayer.